Welcome to episode 98 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us, Brent Messina, rotating panel with guests and myself, Ian Levesey, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's the theme month, so what do? We talk horror. But since we've talked straight up horror comics before, let's put a superhero theme on it and see where we go. Here now, Comic Timing.
Hey everybody, Brent here, inserting the obligatory Heroes Corner ad. Only because they treat us so nice and give us such great discounts and help us produce the segment that we like to call very fondly the Review Corner. So, what do we got coming up for books coming out in December? We got JSA All-Stars number 1, regular price $2.99, your price $1, that's 75% off, only at heroescorner.com. Marvel, we got Secret Warriors number 11, and I think we're getting into the Leviathan arc. And Secret Warriors number 11, regular $2.99, your price $150, so that's 50% off. The return of Stefano Caselli, I think, to Secret Warriors. And based on the Secret Warriors, the list thing, it's looking like it's going to be pretty cool because we got Hydra, we got Leviathan, we got all this stuff going on with Norman Osborn. It's going to be insane. And also from Dark Horse, we got Conan the Cimmerian, Weight of Crown, one shot. Writer and artist Derek Robertson gives us this one shot, so it should be pretty easy to get into. I just recently watched the original Conan film with Schwarzenegger. Regular price $3.50, your price $175. That's 50% off, only at heroescorner.com. Be sure to check them out. So go order your comics from Heroes Corner or a local shop, but whatever. But you can save a whole bunch of money with Heroes Corner. And if you're a first-time shopper, use the code CTROCKS, C-T-R-O-C-K-S, in your coupon code, and you'll get an extra 5% off for your first order. So be sure and go do that. And now back to the episode.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 98 of Comic Timing. And hopefully you guys have your costumes picked out, because it's the Halloween time here. And we're joined by the co-host who is dressing like a paper bag this month. It's Brent Messina. What's going on, Brent?
I got my Fantastic Four uniform on, too.
Oh, really?
With the bag head.
Oh, dude, sweet. Nice. Bagman himself in action. Are you going web shooters or without?
Without.
You gotta tie it together, man. All right. And back this episode after a little bit of a hiatus, Mr. 11 O'Clock Comics himself. He seems to be everywhere these days. Jason Wood. What's up, Jason?
What up, boys? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Long time no speak. How you been?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be back on with you guys. I think the last time I was on, I was not a podcaster. Is that right? Or was it already after we started? I forget.
I think you had just started 11 o'clock the last time you
nice.
Were on. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was because that's when I first started listening to him, like episodes.
Ah, very nice.
Excellent.
Time flies.
Oh, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, come on. The fact that this is episode 98, I'm still like floored by that.
Seriously, we're going to pass you soon, I think.
Uh-oh.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
Our editing times are slow or something.
I'm working on it. So you know what it is? Because I was in the business once upon a time, I had that perfectionist personality
you're,
that I got to
throw out
there.
You're too obsessed with ums and ohs like I was, and
yeah.
Now I don't.
Yeah, no, please. Brent listens to the episode, and he just cuts out anything we say about bad people, and that's it.
Nice.
I tack on the ends. You know, I separate the front end from the back end and push it all to the back. So that's just a nice episode in the beginning.
We travel in packs and we do it from the back. So, you know.
Speaking of the back, Julian Lytle's here. Hey, Julian.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Julian, my boy.
Good to have
Julian's
you on,
my
man.
Dude. My dude from D.C. What's up, man?
Hell yeah. The guy who likes Grant Morrison better than Grant Morrison.
Oh, come on. You guys started hating on my man.
No, there's going to be a lot of Grant Morrison love on this episode between Julian and I and given the topic.
Oh, boy.
Man.
Oh, the horror.
You know it.
Well, speaking of which, before we get into the main episode, what do you guys think of that new Doom Patrol, the Keith Given Doom Patrol? You liking that at all?
I have read the issue.
I've only read the first issue. I have, what is it? I think, is the third one come out? I know I have them in my stack somewhere.
Yeah.
I read the first one. It was okay. I mean, I guess I judge it by the fact that I read the first one. Mm-hmm. I kind of remember what happened, but I felt no compunction to grab that second issue when it, quickly read it. So,
right.
I don't know.
It wasn't really that big of a jumping on point. That was my problem with it. I mean, for an issue one, I had absolutely no idea who anybody was, and I had absolutely no idea what was going on. You know, they could have done that a little bit better. But what are you doing? All right, let's talk horror comics and superheroes here. So let's go to the actual forum topic thread, and we'll roll from there. Since we already did our horror comics primer back in episode 61, let's do something a bit different this time around. Is it possible to have a superhero book that is also a horror comic? Do zombies and vampires and Frankenstein monster equal horror? Or can they successfully be separated and applied to a different genre? What superheroes do you consider to be steeped in horror that others may not even realize swing that way? Give us some of your favorite writers that you feel may be able to successfully blend the two genres, or some that already have done so. Is Blackest Night a horror comic? Same question goes to Marvel Zombies. And finally, give us some suggestions for books that may swing a fan of superheroics over to the side of straight horror, a bridge gapper, if you will. So we'll start things off here with Wood. And, first off, is genre combinations even possible in this? I mean, is there actually such a thing as a superhero horror comic, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Yeah, no question. I mean, look at the history of the medium. I mean, for one thing, I think if you think back to the Comics Code Authority and, you know, what went on in the 50s and the evolution of comics, you know, we really have some distinctive periods where horror was the predominant, the predominant type of comic. And you had, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, you know, on 11 o'clock, we're all huge fans of EC and, you know, Creepy and Eerie and obviously all the goodness from those, from Warren and those guys. And absolutely, if you think about a lot of the writers and artists that were creating those comics, which were, you know, I think still to this day, some of the classic horror books ever to come out. I mean, many of those guys went on to be some of the preeminent superhero writers and artists shortly thereafter. So, I think as we get into it, any era of the medium, including today, there are great examples of comics that have both superheroes and have very distinct horror motifs. So, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say Hulk is probably one of the best examples. Because and that's one that not that many people would look at, I think, as a horror book. But you've got a mild-mannered man who transforms himself into this horrific monster. And I think the beginning of Bruce Jones' run was probably, I think, one of my best examples of the horror motif when it comes to the Incredible Hulk. But if you play that character right, he does come off as, you know, the classic, almost like Frankenstein monster-esque character that you can work in a horror setting very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, let's throw it over to Brent. What do you think? I mean, you're a guy who last time around when we talked horror was talking about how, you know, it's Hellboy and that's basically it. But, you know, you might have very well been reading horror this entire time without even realizing it, Brent. So what do you think about superhero and horror?
I think that I did catch up on the Ellis Thunderbolts and this Dark Avengers stuff right now kind of is tipping into that horror genre right now. And also, we were talking about Grant Morrison a little bit earlier. Batman R.I.P. definitely a horror comic.
Oh, sure.
So there we got some darker storylines that kind of dip into these weird psychedelic, psychological realms. And I think, Batman from time to time, just depending on the story arc, can be something like that, you know, a horror comic. Mm-hmm. Hell, that new video game is probably a horror video game. I don't know. Looks pretty scary.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that, I mean, to me, I know your example of Hulk, but to me, when I think of the quintessential superhero icon that also has done quite a bit of horror, it's Batman. Batman is obviously, Gotham City has always been portrayed as a den of iniquity, a crime-ridden, hellish place. And, speaking about Morrison, I mean, to me, Arkham Asylum is a horror book.
Just about to bring that up too.
Yeah, and that's not Matt Wagner's Faces and Red Rain, which obviously was Batman Dracula. I think there's plenty, tons of great Batman stories. In fact, many of the best Batman stories ever told are straight up horror, either psychological or supernatural.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, think of Scarecrow. I mean, Scarecrow is based in almost entirely in horror. He's his fear toxin, will make you see these crazy ass things, and you're running all over the place.
Oh yeah, well, even more than that. I mean, Scarecrow certainly, and he's overt. But think about the Joker, right? I mean, when the Joker is at his most powerful, it's when you realize just what he's a true psychopathic, killer. I mean, he's completely an evil to the point of getting great pleasure from it. I mean, he's a real sadist, and I think that's nothing's more horrifying than seeing someone take pleasure in torture, or even the Killing Joke, right? I mean, that's one of the most classic horrifying moments of all time, and yet steeped in current superhero lore because it gave us Oracle and the like. So yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of examples of them overlapping. Sure.
Okay. Cool. Well, Julian, let's roll it over to you and your examples of superheroes and horror meshing together in a wonderful stew.
Well, Ghost Rider. He's he's clearly a horror character. Mm-hmm. Swamp Thing. Everybody likes Swamp Thing. That's a horror book. It was created as a horror book, and then it got even more. It got more into more psychological horror, more or less with what I've read of Moore's. When I haven't read a lot, I'm not big on horror. I don't read a lot of horrors because it's just not my thing. But
you're all about the shiny happiness.
Not happy, but you know, just I don't know. I don't even see a lot of horror movies. It's like I do play Resident Evil, so I guess if the thing's with some undead, nice.
Mila Jovovich.
I don't. I you know what? I can't stand that movie. It totally messed up the concept. But
no, I just said she was hot. I didn't say she was a good actress.
No, I had no problem with her because I can watch Fifth Element right now. But
Lilu.
Oh yeah. I wish I could find Lilu, but
I married a Lilu.
Ooh,
see, because you were singing at Jodeci. That's why. Right.
Lucky you.
Come and talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of this dead man. He's a horror concept. It's kind of like horror and like I guess a mystery because he's trying to mix. He's dead, so it's just with death, and then also just been trying to find his killer.
Well, what do you say to guys who would say that if it's superhero, then it can't possibly be horror because superheroes are supposed to be fighting evil and not necessarily being dark and gloomy because there still is that stereotype out there. I mean, even with the change of the 90s and the 2000s where things got a little bit more dark and gritty. I mean, what do you say to the haters out there who really don't think that there can be mixed genres, superheroes and horror?
Well, it's yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't even. It's kind of hard because superheroes really isn't a genre.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the same thing.
It's a type of characters,
right?
Or setting, but like Batman has mysteries. Mm-hmm. That's a mystery is a genre. Mm-hmm. Adventure is a genre.
Right.
Romance is a genre.
Yep.
Superheroes isn't technically a genre because it's a set of characters and archetypes that you use to tell stories.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Genres. I mean. Like let's take Brubaker and Sean Phillips, obviously best known for their work on Criminal and the New York of Criminal just started, but in between this arc and the last was Incognito, which it was basically another arc of Criminal effectively. I mean, it's crime noir, it's what they do best, but in this case it was a world where there were superpowers, right? So it was a superhero book, but it was also a crime noir book, and like we talked about, I mean, again, I defy anyone to read Arkham Asylum or Alan Moore's Swamp Thing or a lot of Grant Morrison's work or Astounding Wolfman by Remender or Hellboy and tell me that there aren't superhero elements to that and that they're not horror books. And my favorite of all time, Tomb of Dracula. I mean, it's one of Marvel's classic 70s Bronze Age books. I mean, you can't tell me it's not both because how can you it's a horror book about Dracula and then you had Spider-Man showing up. So, I mean, right. Obviously I guess I would dismiss anyone contending you can't have them both in the same book because we have printed books sitting on my shelves that argue otherwise.
As long as you avoid the anime where he's eating a cheeseburger.
Well, all right. I don't dig on the anime, so.
Well, man, nah, one of the worst animes that I've ever actually seen was the adaptation of that I think it was actually Tomb of Dracula where they're going after him and Dracula at one point loses his vampiric abilities and steals a wallet from a guy on the street and goes into a burger joint and starts chomping on a cheeseburger. This is a scene in the anime for absolutely no reason.
Nice.
That sounds funny. I think I watched that.
it funny in a cheesy way. It's just to make sure that you have a barf barrack handy for where things get really really bad.
Right.
All right. Well, Brent, what about you, man? I mean, when it comes to the superhero books, have you ever been reading something without even realizing it was going to be a horror book, and then you get surprised?
I think a lot of the Batman stuff definitely surprised. And I haven't read a lot of Hellblazer, but I thought that one that we did read and maybe a couple times in other issues, maybe a little like a horror book too, because it kind of delves into that weird supernatural stuff, you know, from time to time.
Right. Well, supernatural is horror to you guys, right? I mean, because there can be supernatural without it necessarily being horror. Just like there can even be like monsters without it being horror. Because I mean, we've had straight up superhero tales told with Frankenstein and stuff like that, where it's not necessarily been horror, even though there have been horror characters there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say supernatural is not. Again, they're not mutually inclusive. You can have supernatural stories that are not horror stories by any stretch, and vice versa. So I think supernatural horror stories are a very common type of horror story, but I don't think that I don't think one begets the other with any certainty. I mean, you mentioned Frankenstein. I mean, you know, one of my favorite appearances by him of all time is you know, when it was Frankenstein from Seven Soldiers of Victory by Morrison. And you know, in that book, he basically is a straight out action hero, you know, working for a government agency. So there's nothing horror related in that book, but it's Frankenstein's monster. You know what I mean? So I don't think that they're inclusive by rule.
And we leave it to Morrison to turn Frankenstein on his ear.
It was so tough. It was so tough.
It was, I know.
Oh my goodness. Final Crisis is so tough. Oh. So tough.
Not as tough as you, Julian.
I wish I was that tough. He rides a wolf.
That's it's a true. Pretty big wolf to carry him, too.
Isn't it more of a hellhound?
Wonder Woman.
More of a hellhound, right?
Yeah.
It's whatever. Yeah. He rides something that like you could feed like dog food to. It don't matter. That's tough. And he rocks a sword and he has a motorcycle out of a metal man or something. That's hard body. That's the tough stuff.
Well, bringing up Morrison, I mean, since we've been talking about him so much already, I mean, I'd say one of the best writers that blends horror into comic books without you sometimes even realizing it is Grant Morrison. I mean, bringing up Final Crisis, I mean, yeah, sure, some people might be torn on what the actual story was, but there were some pretty heavy horror elements inside of Final Crisis itself, where with basically you're blending almost like the zombie genre of everybody being brainwashed and out to convert everybody else over to their side, and it's something that you might not necessarily think is horror at first, but as you continue to read the story, you realize that there definitely is something there that you can be drawn to.
That yeah, man, evil took over. Mm-hmm. That's scary.
Hell yeah,
evil took over. The dark side was winning.
Yeah, I mean, I one of my personal favorite types of story are dystopian or post-apocalyptic stories. And I think that's a very common horror element. You know, I mean, one could argue that almost any zombie story is an effect, a subset of that, right? I mean, I think where Final Crisis worked was from that vein of conveying that, you know, for once it really was the end. I mean, there was nothing the heroes could do to really to fix things, and that it, when done right, that should make people, you know, feel horrified. So yeah, I mean, again, I think the trick is to be open minded about what horror means, right? Because the movie Scream is a horror movie. There's no question about that. But I don't know how many people were sitting there biting their nails watching it because it can't be fun, right? Yeah. But at the same point in time, 28 days later, a straight out horror movie that probably scared the shit out of some people. So I think sometimes people confuse horror with was I scared by that versus what it is as a genre, which is meant to convey, the sense of fear as a story narrative. That right. Just because you don't feel the fear doesn't mean it wasn't horror. It just might not have been a story that resonated with you. So,
well, Brent, I know you're probably in my camp more with Final Crisis being the, read it five times, you might still not understand what's going on. But do you see the horror elements inside of Final Crisis?
Yeah, I see some of them, but I wouldn't call it a straight up horror comic. It has some elements, but I wouldn't necessarily throw it in as superhero horror comics that you don't know till you read them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you, Brent. I mean, I guess I wouldn't classify, if someone was to ask me to classify examples of superhero horror comics, that wouldn't be one that would immediately come to mind.
Okay. Well, let's give some straight up examples then, if you will, Wood. Yeah, give some people out there some books that again, whether it's ones that you don't think the normal reader would notice are superhero horror, or ones that you straight up believe are no doubt superhero horror. Give some of your favorites.
Okay, well, I mean, again, if we're talking superhero horror, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Tomb of Dracula to me is it. I mean, that's, primarily – the first few issues were written by a number of great creators, but for the most part, it was written – 70-issue series was written by Barmore Wolfman, and it was all 70 issues were penciled by the great Gene Colan. Mm-hmm. To me, that's sort of the penultimate superhero horror. It obviously featured for the most part, the Marvel version of Dracula, which was most recently seen in Captain Britain, in MI-13, but certainly, you know, the it had a revolving cast of characters, some supernatural like Frankenstein and Werewolf by Night and Blade, but also very frequently featured other Marvel heroes and villains. So, I mean, to me, when I think of that's what I think of, right? I mean, that's, and that would be the first place I would tell people to go, is pick up either the essentials if you're, you know, into the inexpensive, you know, mask consumable, or if you're more of a collector, you know, they have a great, beautiful omnibus that's out, and the second omnibus has been solicited. So that would be sort of the one I think holds a candle that crosses both. And then I think the most classic, and Julian alluded to it, is Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing. I mean, I think that's to my mind, there's no better comic writer ever than Alan Moore. I think the praise he gets is well deserved. And his run on Swamp Thing, which it's relatively new to me. I hadn't read it back in the day. I recently read it. It's fantastic. And it's straight up, I think it's straight up horror. But you know, technically it's, you know, it took place in the DC universe, so those would be two.
Yeah, technically, definitely, because after a while there, that was the one that eventually switched over to Vertigo, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's credited as one of the first Vertigo titles. It actually wasn't Vertigo, but then subsequent, you know, once Vertigo had its own name, they moved it the imprint of Vertigo, and so, you know, any reprints and the new collected editions have been under the Vertigo imprint. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know at first that there were appearances from Superman and stuff like that, but that sort of went to the wayside after it gained its popularity and legs to stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, Julian, I know you mentioned Ghost Rider and Swamp Thing already, but you got any other ones you want to throw out there?
Recent books, you know what? I think Blackest Night fits.
Good, good, good. Because we were going to get to that eventually. So please spread your logic.
Because it's kind of simple. From the first issue, is like the beginning of a horror movie. Mm-hmm. He kind of starts setting things up in the beginning. Like there's the bad guys, kind of ominous. They're thinking about the dead. You know, then you get the one scene, you know, spoiler alert, Hawkman and Hawkgirl talking, and they do the rule you shouldn't do. You shouldn't talk about love. They talked about love, man, they got.
Just like in any horror movie.
Just like the rules that what Kennedy said back in Scream, they messed up. See, the next issue, I think you got Ray on the phone talking about, oh, I'm going to come right over. See, old
it's true.
Spoiler, dead Hawkman face, like, yeah, come on through. Come on over, Ray. Luckily, my man Ray was smart. He shrunk down. But, yeah, it's paced like a horror movie. And they're monsters because they're not zombies. It doesn't really fit the zombie genre. Mm-hmm. But because they're talking and they have thoughts and kind of sticking people, but then they do like horrific things like eating people and turning people into like elements, and so that fits. That's like probably one of the best overall like current horror superhero books, because Marvel Zombies, when I read it, was kind of funny.
Yeah,
like look at that, they stepped on Colonel America's head. Oh, look at Luke Cage in his yellow shirt. So for some reason, but he's a zombie. Oh man! Oh, Spider-Man, he's gonna eat Mary Jane. Pause.
But see, that's exactly how One More Day should have went in the first place. You know, just mosey right up to her and nom 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 on the brains a little bit. That would have gotten her out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. So you're putting Blackest Night in that horror genre. All right, okay, because we were gonna get there eventually. So I'm glad you basically agree with that, because I would as well make that statement, because I'm always on the edge of my seat when I'm reading Blackest Night. Like I'm always afraid to turn to the next page because I'm afraid to see like another one of the heroes that I know have their heart ripped out and transformed into a Black Lantern, and that's sort of everything that you would expect from any sort of horror comic or horror anything, that you're on the edge of your seat and you're holding your breath hoping that something is not going to happen. And I think that's definitely the case with Blackest Night. But Brent and Jason, you guys can say what you want to say about Blackest Night now, I guess, just get that out of the way. But that's certainly how I feel.
Yeah, well, I think you had asked, did we consider Blackest Night a horror comic? And I always say whether or not I consider it a horror comic, as soon as Geoff Johns came out and said it's a horror comic, I mean, kind of when the writer says it's a horror comic, I mean, it's a horror comic, right? He told Newsarama it's a horror superhero epic was his quote. So, and I think Julian hit the nail on the head. I mean, the way it's paced, I think some of the scenes, again, great example of what I was alluding to before. As I read Blackest Night, I don't feel any trepidation. Like, I don't get scared, you know, whereas I can remember reading some of those old creepies or EC archives and, you know, scaring the shit out of me, but I don't read Blackest Night and get scared, but I certainly feel that he's setting that tone. I mean, it's a book about the undead that are basically evil incarnate and heartless and taking great pleasure in murdering, you know, their former friends and lovers. So that's pretty much a by definition horror book. So yeah, it's absolutely a horror book. And I'm fascinated that I don't know if, because I think probably most mainstream superhero readers, probably a lot of them would consider that they're not horror fans if you ask them. But I'm looking at the Blackest Night sales numbers and just find it kind of interesting that they may be reading a horror book and not realize it. But, again, it's got that superhero wrapper on it. So
yeah, well, I mean, come on, Blackest Night Titans with Donna Troy's dead baby taking a bite out of her neck. I mean, holy crap.
It's like Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead right there. That was real crazy. I was like, oh, man, she got this black goo. I was like, man, y'all tripping.
Amen, amen. Brent, you're in that camp too? Blackest Night horror to you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Yeah, and there's no way you can look at that and go, nah, that's not horror. No way.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, Jason, that Geoff Johns says that it's horror, so you agree with that. I mean, anybody who says otherwise, I mean, come on, the guy writing it says it's horror, so what the hell?
Right, exactly.
However, if Geoff Johns were to say that it's about, you know, women in tutus dancing around with bears, I'm not sure if I'd really agree with that.
Well, yeah, then we'd be questioning, what he's smoking, but... You know,
whatever Grant Morrison used to smoke back in the day.
All right. I guess we had to get the obligatory Grant Morrison drug use joke out of the way.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Come on. Yeah.
Because I get it, and I don't do nothing.
Same here, buddy.
I don't do nothing. I drink Sprite.
Hey, you know what?
This is the Wu-Tang Clan.
Sprite's,
hey,
Sprite's you know a dangerous drug.
No, it's Ray not. Kwan. It's a good soda. Yes. You listen to Wu-Tang Clan, maybe y'all get some Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
The science in there.
Ian, you had, you know, I guess we got on this Blackest Night tangent, but you had asked, you know, are there other examples out there in print right now? And I mean, I think there are. I mean, Astounding Wolfman, mm-hmm. Which is ending actually, but it's, you know, it's had a nice, I think, almost 30 issue run by Kirkman. To me, that's certainly a mixture of both. I mean, it's a Wolfman who is a superhero, so you can't. I mean, that's from a literal sense, it's pretty much what you're talking about. You know, you had now I didn't read it, but I know from others who had. I mean, Simon Dark, the recently canceled book, was written by Steve Niles, who, of course, probably best known for 30 Days of Night, mm-hmm. creating it. But that was set in Gotham, Gotham City. Obviously, that would, I think, constitute a horror book, that was set in the superhero world. So you got that. Could you argue that Hellboy or BPRD fit in that? I think so. I mean, certainly. I mean, in both cases, you have a cast of characters that are a team that have superpowers. Now, you could argue they have supernatural powers and make the distinction. But I think effectively someone reading superhero comics could read a Hellboy comic and feel very comfortable in that setting, right? Because you've got a big brute strong man, you've got a underwater guy, you've got a chick who does fire. I mean, it's a pretty typical super team setup. So it just so happens that they're all supernatural by derivative. So yeah, I mean, I think there are examples out there of books that are currently on the shelves. Warren Ellis has got a ton of a lot of his Avatar stuff is
Lets me pick.
Oh, come now.
I've tried to pick that stuff, and you always come up with something better.
We did it in Ancient City.
Oh, that's not a horror book.
No, yeah, that's
not. I'm talking about like Gravel or Crossed or something like that.
All right, you know what? Next month, all right?
All right.
Next month, you pick whichever one you want. All right? It's all up to you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll since you spoke, Brent, give us some of yours. When it comes to superhero horror right now,
definitely all the Blackest Night stuff and tie-ins. I'm trying to think of some Marvel. Like I said, the Marvel, the Dark Avengers stuff sometimes kind of tinges into that. And then there was some stuff going on in Avengers Initiative that was kind of horror with the clones and Taskmaster and all this villain stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really horror; it's just more of like an evil bent, I guess, is the way I view horror stuff.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. If it's got any sort of demon, devil, supernatural. Or straight up creepy, then that's what I consider horror. So I guess I'd throw some of those recent issues of Avengers Initiative in there with the clone, and when Dan Slott was still in the book, I think it was really creepy as hell. Death Clock versus the Goon. I definitely put that more on the comedy side than the horror. In that book, we kind of touched on it that it wasn't much. It was more cartoony violence than creepiness or anything like that.
Right.
Well, how about Haunt? I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys read the first issue yet, but to me, that straddles that fence, right? And you've got the McFarlane and Kirkman appeals, so I think a lot of superhero fans have tried that out. And it's only one issue, so I don't know exactly which side of it's on, but there certainly was some pretty horrifying moments in that book, but also it seems to me like the guy's, I don't know if he's a superhero per se, he's a superpowered being. I don't know that he's that heroic. You've got you've got all the Top Cow stuff. I mean, to me, the Darkness is very much straddles that fence, right? I mean, guy that's got superpowers, but it's obviously a pretty dark book. I mean, his powers are basically poured out of evil, and he's a pretty bad guy. So you've got that, and then I mean, you got Spawn, right? I mean, Spawn's still on the shelves, and to me, Spawn's
Spawn's like the ultimate. Finish your sentence. Ultimate superhero horror book.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it. Even from the level of success it attained and its notoriety, but it basically is that. Where you've got this guy who's got all these super powers, but effectively, it's all born out of that whole classic trope of he got them by kind of selling a soul, and he's not a very good person. So yeah, I think I don't read a lot of Spawn these days, but certainly, I think and we all had our, at least if you read comics in the 90s, you have some history with Spawn. And
it's hard not to.
Well,
I would actually go out there and say that I would, going back to your Captain Britain and MI-13 that you brought up earlier with the whole vampire arc and everything, I would love to see Paul Cornell just write a straight out Blade book, because I think it's time for Blade to maybe try again. Because I know that Marvel's tried like 5 times now to get Blade into either a book or a solo book, but Paul Cornell had some great concepts in MI-13. That he had to sort of rush through, specifically with Blade, that I'd love to just see fleshed out, because that is a great example of superhero horror there, because Blade straddles that line greatly, because he's got the strength and abilities of a vampire. He's got, obviously the fangs, and he's got that a little bit of the bloodlust going on at times, but he's a hero, and he's facing vampires. So what else do you need?
Absolutely, and of course, gets back to Tomb of Dracula, where Blade was where the character was born. So, no question. And also, I know they're not the biggest selling books, but Marvel has for quite pretty consistently been putting out books that straddle the fence in the over on the Max side. Books like Damon Hellstrom's had a maxi series, and they just put out a Devil Slayer series, and there are a couple others whose names escaped me, but they kind of straddle that Marvel supernatural quasi-hero vein, but they're putting them out on the Mac side so they can be, you know, more adult in their content. So the stuff's out there if you want to find it, you know. I mean,
well, I think maybe sometimes X-Force can kind of slip into that vein a little bit. I mean, just the art seems like it's a horror book if you just first opened it up and didn't know what it is, especially at the end of like the first arc there where they're cutting people up left and right. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know X-Men, you'd open up that book and there's that dark, creepy art and they're cutting people up. You'd be like, oh.
It's a slasher film.
Slasher film, exactly. Yeah. So that's a little bit of horror right there.
Yeah, there's more blood in X-Force than there is in like five of the slasher films that came out the past year. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is the horror porn of Marvel Comics, yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And hey, it's a good series, but never quite saw my X-Men going that way. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, like they always swayed away from the killing thing, except for Wolverine, and now it seems like more and more of them are sort of losing their morals a little bit. But that's another story for another day, I guess. Let's go back to Marvel Zombies for a minute, because I know that Julian brought that up as being more funny and not necessarily horror. So you've got zombies, you've got superhero zombies running around, but is it actually a horror book? That's the question.
I think so. I mean, you have Shaun of the Dead, and that's a comedy zombie movie.
Yeah.
But I would definitely count that as horror because it's got some creepy moments in it.
Right. Zombieland.
And definitely, I haven't seen Zombieland, so I can't speak for it, but you know, in that, and I've recently read that trade paperback, just the first one, and there's definitely some tension in there. It's not all played for comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that it's less of a comedy book than it is a horror book, because yes, there are some comedic moments, but I think they're comedic in the fact that you can't believe that what these characters are doing to each other and their loved ones, rather than, you know, that it's a funny situation like on a sitcom.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, it was just funny. Now, the arc that spawned Marvel Zombies felt more like a horror movie.
Okay.
In Ultimate Fantastic Four, where you first meet the Marvel Zombies, and like Zombie Reed tricks Ultimate Reed to come over, like, oh, you thought I was cool? Half my face is gone. I'm gonna eat you up.
Right.
Oh snap, Magneto is holding down the whole fort. Like, Magneto is the hero. Oh snap, it's Zombie Hulk. Run. That was kind of
it. Well, going back to the Ultimate Universe, I think any Ultimate book, you know, by Jeff Loeb is a horror book.
Oh,
you know,
just because
of the writing. Preach on, Brent. You just preach on,
just,
brother.
Just crap, you know? You read it and you're in horror that you spent your money to buy this book.
Well,
talk about language.
You know what's horror? There's horror is the fact that he is going to get us to buy a book because he's Art Adams drawing a comic book.
And Frank Cho. He's got Cho doing one. He's got Cho doing Avengers and Adams doing X-Men. I got to buy both.
I have the Miller Ultimates in trade, and I think I'm going to wait for those as well because I'm just going to keep continuing to get them in trade. And if they're any good, I'll get them.
It's physically impossible for me to not buy a Cho or Adams book off the shelf.
Well,
it's not...
They're going to be late, though, eventually. It's
yes.
Loeb,
maybe.
It's Cho, and it's Adams. I mean, that's like the triple X of lateness right there.
The Hulks weren't late. It was all those guys, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Ed McGuinness stuff was running behind a little bit, but once they
messed
up...
But their issues came out.
Well,
no,
Cho, Cho was split with Adams, so,
Adams.
I mean, they weren't doing a full issue.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the Ed McGuinness stuff, and then Cho on Mighty Avengers, good God.
Yeah. No, he's not the fastest, but I mean, again, I don't expect that they're going to be. I don't expect Adams or Cho are going to be on either of those books for super long. And my understanding is, although I don't know that it was announced at this summit, but my understanding, I've heard Little Birdie say that both books are going to be on a 6-week schedule.
Okay.
To help compensate for that, which would be great. I prefer them do a 6-week or every other month schedule right from the bat, so we can kind of just train ourselves. So that's what we're going to be getting versus, you know, trying to pretend it's going to be monthly.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah.
But in answer to your question, Ian, I mean, I just agree with these guys. I agree more with Brent. I think Marvel Zombies is definitely horror, and it gets back to what I was saying earlier. I mean, the only reason you might argue it's not horror is because it's got humorous elements. But again, to me, the definition of what is or is not horror isn't defined by whether or not I'm scared by it or find it to be frightening, right? Because, I mean, especially as you get older and you've seen a lot of horror, you're getting a little more desensitized to it. I mean, I think humor and horror have always been – there's plenty of history of humor being a big element in horror. Again, getting back to even like some of the eerie and creepy stories or the campy elements in zombie movies like Dawn of the Dead or you know, I mean, think about like From Dusk Till Dawn or Grindhouse. I mean, there are outright slapstick campy moments in those that are meant to make you laugh. But at the same point in time, you can't tell me that those movies aren't horror movies. So, you know, I think Marvel Zombies was a horror movie that was meant to convey, you know, or a horror book that was meant to convey the same sense of campy whimsy that you saw in those Romero, you know, sequels in the 70s. I mean,
well then let me go a little bit farther here then. Since you're talking about, you know, zombies and humor and such like that, does a book become a horror book if it has a zombie or a vampire or a Frankenstein in it, like, automatically? I mean, does it have to be like dual genre or dual idea just by having it? Because I mean, we were talking about Frankenstein earlier being, you know, a hero and just a straight up hero as opposed to being like the horror guy that we're used to seeing with Frankenstein. But, you know, if say Morbius is in a issue of Spider-Man, you know, does that make that particular issue horror superhero because it's a vampire in it?
I think certain times it'll tend to be true that it will be a horror issue. Like if Morbius does, say, appear in Spider-Man, or if Blade does appear in Spider-Man, because you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have them guest star in an issue just to run around with the Avengers or Justice League and go save kittens out of a tree.
Aww.
You know, you're going to put them in an issue because you want to use them in the way that, you know, they're kind of used to being used, you know, in that horror genre. I mean, you could put Frankenstein on the team of Justice League, you know, from the Seven Soldiers and stuff. And that would not be a horror book because Frankenstein would be doing heroic things. But if you're having him guest star, or if it's just a Frankenstein title, then I think a writer may be more inclined to kind of use the elements that are associated with that character to kind of, you know, bring readership in before they, you know, before they go to something drastically different. I don't think Frankenstein would sell as a comedy book like Deadpool or something like that, you know?
Well, however, if you put Frankenstein in a Deadpool comic, I would read it.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah,
oh, Jason, you're more like orgasming with these Deadpool books, aren't you? 900 team up.
The Deadpool two,
yeah.
three different ongoings.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying the Deadpool the first book, but the Way book, and I'm curious to see what team up is going to be like, because it has a chance to be a lot of just can't be fun. But I'm feeling the Deadpool overload. I'm not sure it can support for very long three ongoing.
I don't understand where it came from. I mean, I don't remember anybody seeing the movie and going, "We need more Deadpool comic books." I had a friend of mine ask about, you know,
making a push because of the movie, number one, and number two, I think because it's selling. I mean, you know, they're going to keep trying their limits until it backfires. I mean, well, you know,
yeah, it's like they're pushing their limits. Jesus Christ, more than anything else, seems like.
Well,
No, I'm surprised, but I mean,
I didn't know Deadpool was a new Wolverine. I guess out of the movie and the announcement of a movie, that to me doesn't necessarily say let's give you two more ongoing series that no one asked for and a bunch of specials.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge Deadpool fan, as most people know that have listened to me on any show or seen me in a form, and I'm not reading Merc with a Mouth. It didn't grab me after those first two issues, so I'm out of that one, and I figure so if I'm out, and I pretty much own just about anything Deadpool's ever been, and I assume that means that the market is not going to for long support three books, but.
Right.
I'll enjoy it while it lasts, and you probably saw, if you guys follow Twitter, Rob Liefeld's been giddy the last 2 days about the Deadpool core, which is going to be a spoof on the Green Lantern core that they're going to put out.
Wow, hilarious!
Which I think sounds hilarious. So yeah,
hey Brent, I'm looking forward to it. All right, I'm looking forward to it because I've been wanting to see a Deadpool dog, and I'm going to find a Deadpool dog in that comic.
Deadpool.
Why? Right? Because it's funny. It's like because. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool in Green Lantern.
Do we need a yellow She-Hulk and a yellow Hulk and a blue She-Hulk and a blue Hulk? Are we going to get those now? It's just
The market will determine if we need them for long. I mean, no, it's absurd. I mean, like I always to me, the "do we need" conversation should never have anything to do with entertainment.
Yeah,
I mean, it's needed if the creator can get it published. I mean, then it's needed. Whether or not it's sustainable is all about whether the fans want to support it. So, I mean, do we need do we need Spider-Man? No. I mean, Stan Lee came up with Spider-Man and it ended up being a franchise. I mean, we don't need anything. So I'm with you, Brent. I mean, the idea of having a red She-Hulk doesn't appeal to me. But, you know, Hulk is selling well as a book and a lot of people like. So if If they introduce the character and it sells well, then the answer is yes, we need it. If they introduce the character and everyone says this is the stupidest thing ever, I mean, look, how long it wasn't too long ago that Ben Reilly was the laughing stock of the you know, Marvel 90s, and now he's back in a couple versions. So, you know, we don't need anything. It's entertainment. I mean, it's just whether or not people want to read it. So,
I say we need more superheroes and top hats.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying right here, right now. All right. By next year, every superhero is going to be wearing a top hat. And you'll have me to thank.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Julian, what were you saying before we went on this wild tangent?
It's a joke. It's like Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds is Green Lantern. It's kind of an easy joke.
That's right.
It's an easy joke. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's a beast.
Scarlet. Mm-hmm.
Johansson?
Yeah.
Wow.
They got married?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Hell no. High five to... Dang, good job.
Good job. Good for him.
He deserves a bonus.
Black Widow, baby. Black Widow.
You know, that's a good job.
Good for you.
He is his character from Adventureland. He's like the older dude, like 30-ish or whatever. It's just... Yeah, I'm going to get that young thing right there. Bet. I'm a beast.
Well, it's a big step up from Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
She's probably wild, though.
I do agree, but she's a little psycho, though. You lose your virginity to David Coulet, you're going to be a little...
Wouldn't you, Mr. Cut It Out? Like, really? Really? The Beaver? Really? Like, he has some game,
cut
though, to get
it
that.
Out.
Oh,
take it off.
Would you like some word? Okay, so... Anyway, let's roll it back to the actual topic and what we were talking about. How about that? Okay, all right. Okay, good. But yeah, Julian, we didn't get your take on the whole horror characters outside of horror books. Whether that makes that automatically a horror comic or not. Go ahead.
No, it just makes them a character. Like Grant Morrison's Frankenstein book wasn't a horror book. It was an action book with a kick-ass character that just happens to be Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. So, let's take another tangent. Twilight isn't a freaking horror book. It's a romance novel for girls, but it has vampires in it.
Good point.
True Blood isn't horror. It's a romance book.
Don't say that about True Blood. Don't say that about True Blood.
True Blood is a fantastic show.
Wait. No, you didn't hear me diss
I think it is
have
horror.
Have you read my tweets?
Too.
I'm a True Blood.
I'm all caught up and stuff, and I think that's definitely a horror show. It's got a lot of blood and cliffhangers.
Yeah. I think eating definitely human organs and letting the blood all drip down your throats before you beat the shit out of each other and then have sex is pretty much like out of a horror. It's a horror theme.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. And we're not saying you're knocking on True Blood, Julian. We just think it's a horror.
I'm with you. I'm feeling you on the Twilight analogy 100%. You lose me a bit on the True Blood. I do think True Blood, I haven't read the books, but I think True Blood, the TV show, is a horror show. At least part of it is. But
yeah. Maybe a little part for me is just like awesome, sexy action is, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
For us too, apparently.
It's
like
crack rock for adults.
It's like... Oh, I will stare at Anna Paquin for an hour. You don't have to twist my arm to watch that show.
She was rogue, you know.
That's right, she was.
It's another reason why I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I heard Singer might be coming back to the X-Men movies now that that's happening.
What they say.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, all right. Whatever.
They should put him on the Wolverine sequel, not whoever they got.
That would be very nice. But yeah, so like if Marvel decided to put out a comic book with or DC, even since we've just been saying Marvel the past couple of minutes. So let's say, for example, DC puts out a comic with, you know, a couple of teenage vampires running around and, you know, it's a love story around the walls, same lines of Twilight, and there's not really any horror elements to it. That's just a vampire comic. That's it.
You know? Yeah, totally. I mean, right. Look at Spitfire, right? I mean, Lady Spitfire from, mm-hmm. from Captain Britain. I mean, you know, she's been around for ages, and I mean, she was much more about she was a World War II speedster who happened to also, you know, have been bitten by a vampire. But I mean, in the vast majority of the stories she's ever been in, it haven't been horror stories, you know. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I mean, Tigra, right? I mean, she's a were-tiger, but is there really any difference between a were-tiger and a werewolf? And she's obviously.
She's a were what?
She's a were-tiger.
She's a
tiger?
Yeah, a were-tiger. Yeah.
But she never turns back.
She can't anymore, but she could at one time.
Yeah. I was going to say, if she could turn back, why'd she have sex with Hank Pym as a were-tiger?
No, she can't anymore, but she could back in the day.
Wait,
I mean,
you have sex with a were-tiger?
Yeah, Hank Pym's a freak like that.
Yeah, now, her first appearance was in...
Well, I'm very costume while he's doing that.
We're talking over each other. First appearance was in Marvel Chillers, which was obviously a Marvel horror book, another Bronze Age Marvel horror book. But, I mean, certainly we all know she's, for 95% of her appearances ever, has been effectively an Avenger or, you know, some other type of, you know, heroic role. So, no, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think it's a guarantee by any stretch. I know you brought up the Captain Britain thing earlier, and I mean, frankly, it was awesome to see Dracula in that run, but I don't consider that book a horror book. I think that was a superhero book where the villain was the Marvel Dracula. I mean, you know, they were living on the moon shooting rocket ships into Britain to fight a war. I think there was as much sci-fi and traditional superheroes as there was anything that I would say was horror in that. So yeah, I don't think it's the one. I guess in your list of your questions were zombie. I mean, again, I think you could create a book where a zombie was just a character, although I don't know that I could think of any offhand. I guess if you would, maybe, I don't know if you consider something like a Deathlok a zombie. I mean, to me, he's more like a cyborg, but
yeah.
I guess, I mean, I think writers, for whatever reason, are more prone to just use zombies in a horror trope and aren't willing to think outside of the box there, whereas I think because the characters like a Frankenstein or a vampire or a were-creature are often given sentience. You know, they still have, you know, their wits about them in many cases. I think for some – that probably contributes to them often not being used in just a pure horror sense.
Okay.
You know.
What about Werewolf by Night? Where would you classify that?
Again, that's another – I think it started off as a straight-up horror book, you know, with it hilariously named Jack Russell. Great. But no, I mean, I think Werewolf by Night has been, he's been an adventurer. He's been, I don't know if I'd go as far as superhero, but you know, he's been heroic and he has powers. So I guess you could make that leap, but no, I think the book Werewolf by Night was largely, a horror book, although to me, not as, I think it's a good, I think fondly of that book, but not as fondly as Tomb of Dracula. But yeah, I mean, as a character though, no, I think you could, I mean, is there any reason he couldn't be in, you know, the new Avengers tomorrow if they wanted to? No, I mean, certainly not. Why could, you know, if brother Voodoo can be in a book, why couldn't Jack Russell, right? I mean, in fact, I'm not reading the new Marvel Zombies, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, Werewolf by Night is one of the heroes in Marvel Zombies 4, right, as part of the Midnight Suns.
I'm looking right at the Wikipedia entry right here, okay. And yeah, he was in Marvel Zombies Volume 3, Number 4, okay. As part of the Midnight Suns.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Along, mm-hmm. along with Morbius, you know, not really in a horror role, just in a vampire role.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, cool. So I guess going with the we basically answered most of them at this point, but let's go over to some of your favorite writers that you might feel be able to blend the two genres that have not yet. And then we'll go on to ones that have.
That have not. Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Ones that you think would be able to do horror that have yet to really have done so in the superhero realm. And since he went ooh, I'm going to have to go with Brent first.
I was oohing because you just chopped off all my answers. Because Jeff Johns is doing it now. Uh-huh. We've already discussed Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking Brubaker and Fraction might be able to do a horror comic.
Ooh.
That would be an interesting, because Brubaker can do these nice, you know, crime stories, and we can see he's doing superhero now because of Action Comics and Batwoman, and you know, which actually is kind of almost a horror book because it's got these werewolf and the crime and the sacrifices and stuff and all that stuff in it. But who else did I say? Fraction. I don't know, Fraction's just straight up weird. I think you'd write a kick-ass horror story.
and you know, he's one of the few people that if you called him weird, he'd probably say thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I love his work. I mean, yeah, anything I've read by him has been awesome. So I figured if he wants to do a horror thing, I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. As would I. Yeah, well, Julian, you have something to say back there?
No, he said Brubaker, but you were talking about, like, Batwoman's Rucka. So you got me confused for a second.
Yeah, Rucka.
Oh,
yeah, Rucka.
Yeah, I did mean Rucka the whole time. Never mind.
Okay. That's
what
you got me confused. You said Brubaker.
Throw Brubaker in there, too, because he does crime stuff, too. I mean, mm-hmm. I was thinking both of them in the same vein, I guess. But
right.
Yeah, all three of those guys. Rucka mainly was the one. When I was talking about Brubaker, I meant Rucka.
Okay.
But throw Brubaker in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You said all three of them. I heard you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Julian, how about you? You got anybody that hasn't tackled it yet that you'd like to see tackle?
No, this is hard. It's not really.
All right. Well, I got a couple. I got one name off the top of my head that I can probably say. Brian K. Vaughn.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, with Why the Last Man, while it wasn't a horror comic and it wasn't a zombie comic, you did have that whole end of the world thing going on. You know, where you've got that, you know, one survivor. I mean, sure, there were other survivors. There were women, sure. But, you know, had basically the story was, you know, the one man living in a world without men. What do you do? I think if not a zombie comic, I'd like to see him tackle some sort of maybe even a werewolf comic. I think might be interesting for Brian K. Vaughan. You know, mm-hmm. maybe going into similar to the ways the Werewolf by Night has been examined, perhaps going into the dual identity thing a little bit more, and trying to deal with it in a world where basically you're there by yourself, like the only werewolf around, trying to control yourself and not give in to your animal tendencies. I think that might be interesting to see off of Brian K. Vaughan, because
sure,
that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wood.
Well, first, let me say that I think that relative to the question, I'm honestly, much like I believe there really aren't very many, if any, bad characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any really competent writer, if they had a good idea of, you know, and wanted to write a horror book, I think most could do it, right? So I think this list could be very long if we just think of right. great comic book writers who haven't done horror yet. I wouldn't necessarily rule any of them out from the genre unless they just flat out said, I hate horror, I don't get it, and this is not my thing.
Sure.
But that being said, I mean, guys that I could really envision and hope to see personally do it. First, I'll actually start with a guy that has just really written horror comics, and I'd love to see him try his hat other places. That's Joe Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hill is the writer of Lock and Key, which I think has been one of the best books the last 2 years. It's a horror book. For those that don't know, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, and he's actually a novelist as well. He's written some horror novels. He has not written any superhero books yet, but I think he wants to get more into comics beyond this, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a shot. I'd love to see that because I think he's just a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
On the superhero side of things, the guys that we haven't mentioned already, I think would do great. I would love to see Jason Aaron write straight up horror. Now, I guess you could argue that you know, he's done some darker stuff with Ghost Rider and a little bit of his Wolverine run. But I mean, I'd just love to see him write some straight up horror. I mean, if you look at his stuff like From the Other Side or some of the Arcs and Scalps, I mean, he clearly gets, you know, the really dark side of humanity. And I think, you know, a guy that can tap into the, you know, what makes a human being innately bad or evil can, I think, tell a good horror story. So he gets my vote. And see if there's anybody else we haven't mentioned here. No, I mean, I'll stick with those guys. I mean, those two guys that popped into my thoughts right away. I mean, I think that, you know.
Since he's already such a chameleon, I'd also throw Christos Gage into that, because Christos Gage has proven to me that the man can write anything.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because I mean, he writes so much Wildstorm, he writes so much Marvel. He's written, you know, like fill-in arcs for almost every single Marvel character, it feels like, at this point. And you know, I'd like to see him. And yeah, he's done his indie stuff too, but he seems like a guy who can't stop writing, and I think he might actually have an interesting take on some horror stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chameleon. That's the best way to describe Christos Gage, in my opinion. But not the chameleon that you know, kills people and takes their faces. Okay. All right. Fine, Brent. You can say all the people that you already know, right, are now.
I already said Jeff Johnson, Morrison.
Anybody else?
Guggenheim wrote Blade, so I guess he's already done it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, moving on. Wood, go ahead. Please, save us.
You're talking about guys that have already done both?
Guys that have already done both, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, the list is really it's a long list. But
just give like five then. You know, I mean,
yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean,
the first two that come to mind and they also happen to be the two best comic writers, Alan Moore and Grant Morrison. I think both could write anything. Both have written quite a lot of genres, and both have done horror and superheroes really well. So they'd have to be atop the list, and they'd probably be atop the list of any categories that we could talk about. Another guy I think that gets some mad love for me is Marv Wolfman. Again, he's obviously what he's done in superheroes is well known. You know, Titans. I mean, the list is long and distinguished. He's written a good chunk of all the classic Marvel and DC characters at some point in his career. And again, was the man behind you know, the seminal Tomb of Dracula. So I think he's clearly done both. Another guy, again, no surprise to anybody. I'm sure probably one of the first people that modern day readers think of is Kirkman. You know, Kirkman has arguably the most popular and successful horror book on the stands today with Walking Dead, and certainly, from my opinion, one of the best written and the best-selling independent superhero book in Invincible. So he proves every month that he can do both. And the last two guys I'll throw out, again, no surprise to people that are familiar with the work, Warren Ellis and Garth Ennis. Both have written fantastic horror stories, and both have obviously had great runs in superhero books you know, at different points of their career. So, I mean, those six guys would be, you know, the ones that I certainly have no doubt that could do it and have done it. So,
well, and those are six guys that I think superhero fans that might not necessarily be fans of horror would probably be drawn to very easily because they're all names that they recognize.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Julian, you got any names out there that you haven't thrown out yet?
All right, I'm gonna take a shot at the dark.
Okay. Light starch or heavy starch?
I bet Neil Gaiman probably had some type of horror thing in there somewhere. I don't even know. I don't even know if it's work. I'm shot in the dark. He's done so many different genres. That
you could say Coraline was pretty. Could even fall into the horror category. I mean the original Coraline, not the movie.
But the movie has some scary parts when you see them buttons in the eyes. That's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go. See, you validated my choice.
Hooray. 2 points.
Man, I really don't read a lot of horror books.
Pick a name out of a hat, and we'll tell you if they've written horror.
You know, Craven's Last Hunt. Craven's Last Hunt is a good story. It's a good horror story. Peter Parker gets buried alive. That's kind of scary.
So that's DeMatteis.
DeMatteis, yeah. Yep. I'll pick him up.
Well, actually, that's, I think, probably one of my favorite Spider-Man stories of all time to this day. I mean,
it's one of the great ones, sure.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I'm happy that I did finally read it because it was sitting on my shelf for so damn long. But, in fact,
we're talking about One More Day?
No,
horror story?
No, not that type of horror. Although I liked it, that Chad Burdett sent me a tweet earlier today. It's like, oh, you're talking horror? Make sure to mention Countdown.
Huh. I mean, two other guys just throw out there, Ian, if we're sure. I mean, it's Rick Remender. You know, a lot of his early creator stuff was straight up horror, and obviously he's now, you know, front and center at the Marvel mainstream as one of the quote unquote right stuff. And you also got to give some love to Phil Hester, who you know, he's definitely, I think his first love is probably horror, but he's certainly written some non-horror stuff, which is jam good as well. So
Days Missing was some good shit, man.
Oh, yeah. Hester's got chops.
Very good. Very nice. Well, in fact, mentioning Craven's Last Hunt might actually be a good way to go here, because some suggestions for books that may swing a fan of superheroics over to the side of straight horror. You know, the sort of book that you can consider to be a bridge gapper. Now, whether or not you decide that this is a superhero book that's also horror that you might want to suggest to people that might get them into regular horror, or one that really, I guess, is so good that somebody who only reads superheroes will be able to turn over it, even though it is just, you know, a regular straight horror book that you guys could throw out there. I mean, obviously, I'm sure at least one person is going to mention Walking Dead, so whoever has read the most of it should probably talk about that, and I guess that would be Wood, because I still have the first two volumes sitting on there. I got halfway through volume one, and maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset when I was reading it, because I just really couldn't get into it, but it's been like 2 years now, so I'm thinking I might roll back to it and see what I think.
Yeah. Well, I do love the book. I mean, it's one of my favorites. I'm not alone there, obviously. It's not like I'm going on a limb there. I mean, to me, that's the perfect one that came to mind because of, I mean, our buddy and fellow podcaster John Mayo of the Comic Book Page. You know, John is not he detests gore and violence, and even, you know, gets turned off by some of the overt, you know, more overt depictions of violence in some superhero books. So I know it's something he really can't stand, and really doesn't even like horror movies or anything like that. And yet he's reading Walking Dead. So to me, he's like the ultimate superhero fan who happens to find Walking Dead such a good book that even, you know, he can tolerate it, what normally would be off-putting to him. But so that one, I think. The other one, too, for me is Hellboy again, because it's such a great book and also easily digestible. I mean, Hellboy is not one of those books where, you know, people have to fear jumping in, because it's, it, you know, Mignola's done such a nice job of compartmentalizing each story arc and, you know, into its own, you know, little six issue trade or collected edition and the like. So you can kind of jump in at any point and read those stories, and they stand on their own.
Yeah, and some of those stories are collections of shorter stories, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Pages,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, those two certainly would come to mind. I also think, which I had mentioned earlier, Lock and Key, again, because it's such a fantastic book. And I think it, reading that would be a nice, because it's got some supernatural elements. So anyone that's a fan of, like, the House of Mystery or the Sandman could be into that. In terms of straight out, like, superheroic books that also cross over into horror, I gotta say, on the shelves right now, I don't know of too many. I mean, again, I'd have to recommend something like some of the classic Batman stories and that type of thing.
Yeah. How about Azarel's Joker hardcover?
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, I guess as I read that, he's a bastard in that book. To me, that wasn't so much a horror book, at least as I read it. It's more of a
crime.
like a true crime book where he was just a. But again, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's a good example. I just was when I think of horror and Joker, I can't help but think of Arkham. That's a good one.
One that I would definitely mention, the Luna Brothers Girls.
Oh, I haven't read that.
It's you know what? It's interesting because it's this story where basically this girl falls from space completely naked. Guy takes her in, has sex with her, and
it's a species.
No, it's maybe it is species. then the next day, basically, he wakes up and she's, you know, she's laid eggs, and the entire town is overrun by these girls, and eventually this like giant sperm like bubble encases the entire town. And the men are being cannibalized, and all this crazy horror shit starts going down there. But the Luna Brothers art, you know, for anybody who's familiar with it from what they did on Spider-Man, on Spider-Woman Origins and stuff like that, I think is a nice bridge gapper where anybody who is into just straight superheroes might definitely be able to pick this up. And plus, there's boobies, and we all know how much comic book fans enjoy the boobies. So, I would definitely pick that up if you got the opportunity. I mean, I think all of it's out in trade at this point, and I actually liked it so much that I started picking it up in singles.
There's a slipcase.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Oh, right on. Okay, good. Good.
That's the one I'm going to get. Sweet. The slipcase.
Sweet.
Baller status.
Booyah.
Uh-oh. Baller. Playing tentacle.
That's right.
But yeah, so yeah, I recommend Girls, and that's about all I can think of off the top of my head right now. Lytle, roll.
You know what? Jack Kirby's Demon. Yeah, let's go.
Ooh, going old school on us.
Yo, snappity.
It's Demon. It's Jack Kirby. Mm-hmm. Everything Jack Kirby did was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Kirby's freaking racist shavings was awesome. So yeah. It's his type of horror. It's a Jack Kirby horror book.
Mm-hmm.
Means it's different.
He was rhyming back then, right?
Oh, yeah. It's bananas. 70s.
Not like
Kirby's
the iambic pentameter.
He's the newest member of the Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang demon.
Yeah, the rhyming demon.
It's the old dirty bass of the superheroes.
He did a King Cootie remix. It's off the hook.
Oh, shit. You're talking to a bunch of white guys. I'm sorry.
What Jason just did, he just wrote a comic that I want to make up. Like,
nice. Get on it.
Jason's the blackest white guy I know. So
there you go.
Which doesn't really say that much because I'm living in an apartment building like full of like I'm the white guy and the rest of people look at me like, what are you doing here?
They say I'm Jewish. That's it. They'll let you go. It's like, hey, it's New York. Jews.
Did you tell them happy Irish black drinking day? Jewish black drinking day?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. And let them know that Yom Kippur is the day where you don't drink.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bah. There's no such day.
Exactly. I agree. All right, let's roll on to the forum comments a little bit here.
How about you? Didn't ask me.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Hi, Brent.
Saving an answer.
Oh, ooh. Brent, would you have something you'd like to share with the class?
Not anymore.
Well, too bad. Say it anyway, bitch.
All right, I was thinking, Preacher. Kind of got some horror elements in there with the Saint of All Killers, but I think that's kind of more lines of the supernatural, and the tense thriller more than horror.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely got some weird, just some whacked up shit. You know, when they got the bald guy tied up with the inbred guys in the cave in the mine shaft, and they kind of, you know, do certain things to him that aren't so nice. That's kind of a horror moment for me, right?
Oh man,
there.
Man, you know,
and the dog, you know, and the dog that eats, you know, and just stop there. That's got some really fucked up shit in there.
Well,
you would only find in horror movies.
All you got to say is two words: Garth Ennis, and that explains Preacher. Because
yeah.
I mean that, and you said the words "whacked up shit." That's basically exactly what Chris told me last night. We just happened to be talking about Preacher last night. She was explaining some of the things to me, and like you could have that on the cover of Volume 1, like "whacked up shit," and that would fully explain the entire series. I mean, like you think Boys is bad when it comes to like the violence and the sex and the crazy shit. Preacher is like that to like the 500th.
Foobar.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of any others right here. What would you say about the?
I have one.
Go ahead. Shoot.
Well, it's superhero, right? Nah, I don't have one.
No. Either or. Shoot.
Naoki Urasawa's work is like horror thriller, because 20th Century Boys is bananas.
Dude,
you don't know what the hell is going to happen.
It's sitting right here on my desk. It's sitting right here on my desk. I just took it out of the library.
But see, I'm a gangster, so I've already finished it.
Nice.
How you roll?
Well,
yeah, but you don't. You,
go ahead.
That's your go to thing, though. You've been begging me to read it, so you read it already.
Man, Pluto again, bananas. I haven't read Monster yet. Give me time.
Monster's good, man. Monster's good. I still got about 8 volumes left because it's I think a 16 volume manga.
Well, would you manga boys consider Death Note a horror book?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I would.
Hell
I don't like it, but it is. That is crazy. The concept alone, it's hard. It has that demon thing, man. It, whatever, yeah, that counts.
And okay. And Helsing. Ooh,
yeah.
Helsing.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, the vampire action going on in that. I mean Helsing, I mean, I've talked about it time and again on this show. That's like my favorite manga of like all time because... I mean, you've got the Vatican thrown in there, and you've got the freaks, which are basically like zombies, and basically their blood has been drained, but they weren't they didn't accept being vampires, and B, they weren't virgins because you have to be a virgin to become a vampire. Apparently, that's one of the things in Helsing. And, you know, then you've got the actual straight vampire action, and you've got Alucard, who is a vampire, who's going out there and hunting the freaks and the other vampires in this series. So it's it's pretty badass. You know, there's the Helsing Ultimate anime that goes through a lot of it, but definitely I think there's one more volume left to be released here in the States of Helsing. And once that's all said and done, I'd recommend just picking all that shit up, and you'll love it.
So, nice.
Yeah. Great art, too. Like, it's not the typical manga art. No big eyes.
It's probably seinen, isn't it? Isn't it made for older audiences?
Wait, what's up?
Isn't it made for older audiences? Because you can tell by the size of the eyes what audience it goes for.
Yeah. It's made for older audiences, and there's a bunch of people in the comic that are supposed to be British. So I think they try to go for a more UK style in the art a little bit.
Yeah, because usually if it's a seinen book, if it's for adult men, they don't have crazy big eyes.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a shonen book, they got crazy big eyes to show the purity of their hearts.
You know, when you say it, it sounds so much more touching, Julian.
Hey, no.
Well, in fact, Helsing's the only anime, well, not the only, but one of the only animes that I'd recommend listening to in English as opposed to in Japanese, because they're supposed to be British. The characters are supposed to be British, and when you hear it in Japanese, it just doesn't work. You know, because you're suspending your belief. Like, why would all these British people be talking in Japanese?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does make no sense.
Exactly. All right. Any other thoughts you guys want to throw out there before I roll over to Matthew Guy's comment? Because he's like the one person that commented on the thread here. So
let's go. Let me hear what Guy has to say.
All right. Mr. Matthew Guy, unless Brent wants to read it. You want to read it, Brent, or should I?
You've already got it up, my friend.
All right. Okay. Zombies, vampires, and werewolves, etc. I generally view each as a subgenre of horror. I consider Swamp Thing to be the real deal and Man Thing to be the cheap Marvel ripoff, although he gets called out on that later on, so yeah. We know the deal with Man Thing being first and Swamp Thing being separate, yada, yada, yada. We'll just move on from here. Robert Kirkman / Charlie Adlard, Walking Dead. If you don't read this book, shame on you. So I guess shame on me. From Image, Hellboy, and BRPD, various writers and artists, put out by Dark Horse, and recently I have been reading Lock and Key. It is a supernatural suspense comic from Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez from IDW. How long has Lock and Key been out, Wood?
Well, it's much like the Hellboy model. It's being told in 6-issue arcs.
I got
so
you. Okay.
Two full series of that. There was Lock and Key, then there was Lock and Key Head Games, which finished up a couple months ago, and then the third is just hitting the stands now. So we're
cool
on the third. Yeah, it's excellent. The first series was my pick for best new series of last year on the 11 o'clock, the 11 o'clockers last year. So
love that name. Bitchin'. Mm-hmm. All right. However, my reliable favorite of all horror comics is the modern slasher movie comics from Wildstorm, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and the two miniseries of Freddy versus Jason versus Ash that have been released. So far, Blackest Night is a major DC event that uses horror elements, in this case, zombies, to tell its story within that universe. Marvel Zombies, I didn't get into all the overhype about it. I enjoy horror comics, movie, and TV shows a great deal. Next stop for excitement after Halloween, horror movie watching marathons, is the remake of V on ABC in November, which might be good or might not be. We don't know about that yet. We don't know. Although, however, it is got some. It does have that sexy Serenity chick on it, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited for V because I loved the original series, but the tea leaves are not suggesting it's going to be a very good show. But I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Didn't they already kick like the executive producer off the show?
And then the most recent thing is they're only going to air 4 episodes and then go on a very long hiatus.
Ouch.
Until March of
2010. Is this a full series?
Yeah,
it's a mini series.
Well, they're hoping it gets picked up, but I think they've only greenlit half of a season.
Okay.
And the fact that they're not showing the fifth episode until March, obviously, is. But I'll tell you, they're promoting the heck out of it. I mean, you can't watch a show on that network without seeing a bunch of promos for it. So they're really trying to build up the hype.
What network is it on?
ABC.
Yeah.
I don't watch ABC, so that's why I haven't seen it.
I've been down this road before with Life on Mars. I'm not getting spurned again.
Mm-hmm.
Or that Viking show. What was that?
What?
Journeyman?
Journeyman. It was
you should have been playing
show.
Thor.
It was
that's
not.
That's the guy we wanted to play Thor, not,
yes. Yes.
Not Christopher Pike's sidekick or whatever. Captain Kirk's dad.
Yes, Captain Kirk's father is.
Although he may do a good job, but I think Journeyman would be a better Thor. He's older,
or
distinguished.
Yeah. You know,
the other guy played Donald Blake.
Kevin McKidd, that's who it is.
Oh, he's on Grey's Anatomy now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mick is he?
Wait, what's up?
What's that?
What Mick is he? Is McDreamy? Is McSteamy? So what Mick is he?
Mick Irons.
No, he's. I don't think he's a Mick.
Okay.
No. Actually,
he's Mick Veteran.
I was going to say Mick PSD. Or
yeah.
Mick PTSD. There we go. But
I stopped watching that show after Isaiah Washington got fired.
My wife loves that show.
I sadly watched that show. I don't admit that to many people.
You just admitted it to everybody.
I know. My man card just went out the window. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Have you seen Journeyman by any chance, Wood?
No. But wasn't Kevin McKidd in Rome as well?
Yes.
I knew him from Rome, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it ever comes out on DVD, and if not, I think it's available on Hulu. Definitely watch Journeyman when you get a chance. It was sort of like a modern-day Quantum Leap.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, but it was
I dig on the Quantum Leap, yeah.
There was one episode where he drops his cell phone. Excuse me, not his cell phone, his digital camera back in the past, and he gets back to our time, like our present, and technology is like way further advanced than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he needs to go back and find his digital camera, or else things are going to be screwed.
You know what? My mind's racing here. I'm thinking of that, which for some reason made me. You mentioned Serenity, which made me think of Joss Whedon, mm-hmm. which made me think of Buffy, which made me think. Now there's a comic that probably, in its own way, is helping bridge some people over, because lots of people are going into comic stores buying Buffy every month and probably weren't superhero fans, and maybe at least a handful of them are trying other comics while they're in the store. So, maybe that's one to throw onto the list.
Well, and I'm one of the few people who started reading the Buffy comic and then wound up watching the entire Buffy series.
Oh, okay.
Cool. You never watched the show before you read the comic?
Nope. Started with season 8 and then started watching the show, and eventually I caught up. I literally shotgunned all 7 seasons. I went back and forth between Buffy and Angel, and I've seen it all now. But
that's gangster.
Not to get off on a tangent, but I'm not getting the Dollhouse. I'm not getting it.
I saw the pilot and I went, no thanks.
I watched the first 2 episodes of this season. We didn't watch last season. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I mean, I love Elijah Dushku. I mean, she could be my all pair if she wanted, but I'm just not getting it. It seems like such a contrived device.
It's like a dumbed down version of Alias to me.
A little bit. But
it's not even though, because it's an Alias. She was kick ass.
She was a spy, but this one's just kind of like, I'm a whore and I do different things and there's missions and I forget.
Well, and plus, to be honest with you, again, I know we're getting off a tangent, so you can delete all this, but
come on. When do we ever delete anything? Come on.
Oh, well, the thing that, I mean, I don't know if you guys are caught up or if you're watching it, but in this second episode that I saw, she's breastfeeding a baby that's not her own. And I'm like, there's nothing sexy about like brainwashing a chick to have her breastfeed somebody. Like, that's not sexy. I don't want to see Elijah Dushku breastfeeding. Yeah, like there's nothing sexy about that. Like I don't like you know, I want to see her dressed like Faith or dressed up like a cheerleader and bring it on.
Do me a favor and watch the episode that aired this past Friday if you get a chance. And then you can decide like entirely. If you don't like that episode, then you're done with Dollhouse.
Because it just for me that first I saw the first 2 episodes, the pilot and the second one or something, and it was just like whenever her mind's erased, she's just a mindless zombie.
Right.
And it's like, well, the thing about grab onto there.
It's like,
I don't
know
if that's changed now, but
yeah. As geeks, you know, we feel, at least I feel like this loyalty to Joss Whedon, where I want to try and show his stuff love, you know, but this one.
Well, the one thing I don't like about Whedonites are the guys that, you know, stick with him even when he doesn't entirely deserve it. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Like the guys that are already blaming Fox for Dollhouse not doing well, and most people's responses are, Fox has actually done well to him this time. You know, just because just because they aired Firefly out of order, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, Fox is always going to do things bad. I mean, they're sticking by the show. They just gave it a 13 episode order for this year. They're saying that no matter what the ratings are, they're sticking with Dollhouse for this year. They'll make the decision.
And in today's day and age, that's something, because another show that I loved was The Unit, and I mean, that got decent ratings, but you know, they were going down every season, and they just, because of the cost of the show and the economy hitting the shitter last year, they just said, well, we can't risk having to make this film and this show anymore, and that was a badass show. But you're right. I mean,
Eli Stone didn't even make a full season last year.
He
got 7 episodes.
I'm so sad about that.
Yeah,
didn't watch those shows.
Yeah, Eli Stone was pretty good, Julian, if you ever get a chance.
I tried to watch it like after the episode with my man George Michael in it. I just couldn't get into it. No one was like, I ain't got no George Michael.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy about the Eli Stone
times.
So much, but I.
The Unit was good, though. I used to watch that.
I don't watch CBS.
Yeah.
As a rule?
Yo, for a while, it was like the Old People Network, and I never got out of that training.
Well,
I see How I Met Your Mother, but I see it like in my friend's house with the DVR, and it's hilarious, but I don't turn to CBS at all. I don't even turn to Fox.
Well, I got
to
be honest with you. I've had a DVR like for so long now that I can't tell you when shows are air and what networks they're on. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't have any idea. I mean, like certain shows, like I know American Idol's Fox or Survivor CBS because they've been on there forever, but I couldn't tell you like what show, like all the shows we watch, I have no idea what network they're on.
Well, my favorite thing about The Unit is that in my head, I could see that as like a prequel to 24, where this is what David Palmer was doing before he was president.
And then he becomes president?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could feel that.
All right.
Joe Boo becomes president?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. And Why to Me is like my favorite show on TV right now.
Never saw it.
Don't watch Fox.
Yeah.
Unless it's on Hulu, like I only watch 2 Fox shows. I watch.
How about PBS? Do you watch PBS, Julian?
Van Alt, when I got the news hour up in my comic, I watched Mad PBS. But
I don't get the craze with the Ken Burns documentaries and the people talking and the moving, slowly moving panning pictures.
It's hot. Because he's teaching you, and he got the ill freaking images going with the slow moving and the music, and he's breaking down the knowledge.
Put me to sleep already.
Jazz.
Yeah, that jazz is great.
Well, Lie to Me is great.
You have the box set of music that came with that?
Yes, I got it.
So good, right?
Yeah, so tough.
Yeah, all you people out there that consider yourselves music fans that don't know your jazz, they gotta learn.
Smooth jazz.
Before that one was hard.
Great American. One of the few.
Are you guys gonna start talking mayhem now?
Nah, dude. Hey, jazz is one of the few true great American art forms. In all seriousness,
Commerce and jazz. Never mind.
I'm not nearly as schooled on jazz as much as I should be. However, I love the soundtrack to Cowboy Bebop.
This is good jazz.
I have no idea what Cowboy Bebop is. No, I'm assuming it's kind of manga.
No, it's an anime.
Anime. All right.
Would really, really.
Yeah.
Yo, that is the truth. That joint was such a truth when it was coming out. The NPR, they was talking about the soundtracks of that back when it was coming out, like in 2000.
Mm-hmm. What, Cowboy Bebop, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's real jazz. Like.
But I'm saying, like, what's the anime about?
It's an anime basically about, it's a concept of.
You know what it is? It's Firefly. It's Firefly. That's basically the concept.
So Joss Whedon's not an original.
No, not really.
It's not really. It's like a cowboy type of story, a band, a group, but a lot of his things are based around jazz concepts.
They're bounty hunters, basically. They're bounty hunters in space going after their bounty. And
they always broke.
Right, and they're always broke.
But the music is a very important part of the show and the design of the show. It's like...
No,
if you like animation, a lot of animators' favorite animations, that's probably in the top 10 from the last 15 years.
And best of all, man, it's an anime that you don't even have to watch the subtitles on because the dub is fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. So give a shot, man. Get it from your Netflix.
I'm gonna do that.
Right. If you listen to me, I'll get you the good anime, the grown man anime.
Nice. That's what I need. I need the grown man anime.
And if you listen to me, you get the boobies. Shit. You get the boobies.
Love the boobies.
Of course you love the boobies. You're on 11 o'clock. All right. So.
Speaking of boobies and horror, Triple X Zombies, Crawl Space presents Triple X Zombies. That is a hot, funny, sexy limited series. Came out last year. Mm-hmm. Kieran Dwyer, Rick Remender. It's sick. It's crazy. It's off the – I mean, you talk about crazy shit involving babies. I mean – there's some crazy shit involving babies in that. And let's just say a porno set, zombies, and nuns. And we'll leave it at that.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll pick it up. You convince me. I'll get it.
It's good.
I hope for the issues of Wild Pig or something. Maybe they'll have it there.
Yeah. It's good.
I wish I was going to Wild Pig. I wish I was going to Wild Pig.
Julian, you're coming up.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the ride from Just Bill. I'm trying to come
nice.
Up.
All right, well, listen, if you're coming up, we'll go to lunch. We'll all go to lunch together.
Oh, yes.
I'll be there.
All right, sweet. Dude, you guys are going to be surprised because Wild Pig is crazy cool, but it's like not a big store. So with as many people that are coming, it's going to be packed up in there.
Yeah. See, I'm
I wish I lived closer like Ian, then I would definitely make it out there. But
yeah, I got it down to a science, though. This would be, I think, my sixth Wild Pig.
Nice.
I handle my business.
I'm going the free route. I got my press pass to Big Apple, so I'll just hit that up, see Shatner, and then see what I'm doing.
Those are the same weekends?
Same weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Wild Pig. When is Wild Pig? I thought that was.
It's November 13th.
Oh, 14th. No. Okay. I'm sorry. It is still to come. All right. Well, then I'll see what I can do on that. But considering that my funds are going to be limited, I might have to pass on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yo, I might not even buy nothing, man. Yeah. I'm just trying to see.
You get $5 off just for saying CGS, and it's 50% off, so you could get a trade for basically free.
That's true.
Yeah, I might end up doing that.
Well, Mr. Wood's going to be at Super Show, right?
Probably.
All right. Okay.
Yes, my intention. I intend it. I mean, Vince and I have been talking about locking down plans and stuff. But I mean, I have to say probably because it's toward the end of March when my son Colin's 7th birthday will be. Gotcha. So if I can get the wife to lock down a birthday party like the week before, then I'm in. But, you know, if she's like, oh, that weekend's it, I got to, you know. So I'd say there's like a 90% chance, but I can't fully commit probably for like another month.
That's fine. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I plan on being there.
I had birthday parties before and after my birthday all the time.
Oh, no, definitely. And his birthdays, when you got three kids,
exactly,
and
you gotta worry about the kids more than you gotta worry about the Super
Bowl. Well, and you gotta worry about the kids, the other kids coming, and the if you're gonna rent a place where you're gonna rent it, and the in laws flying in from out of town, and you just get
That's serious. That's a serious birthday. You got people flying in.
Rent a place.
My in laws live in Florida, and they don't need much of an excuse to come up, so you know.
Oh, are they one of those people who got bored of Florida already?
I wish, actually. No, yeah, no. They're the people that lived in Jersey and we thought would be our built-in babysitters. And then as soon as Colin was born, they were like, oh, we're going to Florida. I was just going to say they did a gangster lean all the way down to Florida.
They got the candy paint on the Cadillac and rolled down.
16 switches all the way down to Tampa.
See, my grandma moved down to Florida. She was there for a year. She couldn't take it. She moved back.
I hope they move back, but they seem to be liking it down there. So.
What were you going to say, Brent?
I said we should get Julian on more often because he kind of, you know, offsets the white blackness we get when we have Brandon on.
Wait, Brandon black?
Oh, ouch. Ouch. Oh, that's
sometimes
cool.
Y'all be tripping. I'm hearing y'all talk about music, man. Be like, man, what y'all talk about? Y'all ain't listening to nothing from the streets right now.
I'm telling you. Well, how do you think I feel the same way?
Yo, I feel you on 11 o'clock. I'll be like, oh, ain't nobody to bounce off wood right now. I know King Dap knows some black music because some of the stuff he says.
He does. Actually, King Dap just sent me – well, no, he didn't just – but when Maxwell's new album hit, before I even had a chance to buy it, he sent it to me. And I was like, you're the man.
He was tweeting about it. He was all about that new Maxwell.
Yo,
I know
legit.
You know what I'm talking about.
Let me just tell you straight up as a 34-year-old Merriman, some lovemaking music, folks.
See – And who do you think told him all about that? Obviously me. I mean, come on. He was on Comic Timing co-host first. I mean, come on.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and I would recommend Mr. Wood. I mean, even if you don't wind up going, book the room for $55 and then cancel. Come on, man. Because I mean, if need be, I mean, my God, $55 for the room at this point.
There's an excellent chance that we're coming. I mean, I'm coming, but I don't want to come right out and say absolutely. So
people
can get all livid and be like, you said you were coming.
No. I'm not saying confirm on that. Yeah. I'm just saying get yourself that $55 rate while you still can because that is crazy cheap. Crazy.
Yeah.
Give me that ASAP, actually, since you said $55, I need to put that in because I'm supposed to be here with Stan Leroy.
Where is that? It's $55.
Days Inn in Reading, PA.
Yep. Right on the Days Inn website.
By the way, as a rule, frankly, without getting too preachy, I think as a rule, hotels in Reading shouldn't be allowed to be much more than $55.
That is very true.
After
sleeping there for 2 years now, man, I am with you on that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, but
yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't go
super
far.
Super show's gonna be a great time. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. Well, is it a scary
be a great time because of
something?
The super show, not because of.
Well, no. It's called Super Show because of that crazy ass Comic Timing live show that happens every year there. All right, that's why it's called Super Show.
That's right. We be having like five people on the podcast. Stan Leroy come on up. He talk Raph Rady. He be spitting out even though he talk about half the time.
Dude, that was my favorite part about last time. We just left the door open and like Bill wanders in and Pryor wanders in and
we're getting Raph a choke ball
Nah, he can't be the Kemp. He can't be the Kemp. Nah, man, that's not a good
look. The Quentin Tarantino movie.
We'll lock Raph out of the room this time. Don't worry about it.
I don't have no problem. I like Raph. I like his crazy.
We like him too. We just like his
Asian ass screaming on the round. Raph Radio. That shit is awesome.
By the way, when I saw Raph on Monday at Midtown, the first thing he says to me,
"What?
Thanks for the shout out about Windy City." I was like, dude, I'm like, first of all, I'm like, if you really want to know the truth, I'm like, I'm 90% sure I did shout you out, but I think it got cut on the editing room floor. Because I think there was some tech. No, I just think there were some technical difficulties with Skype, and lost like 10, 15 minutes. But I can distinctly remember mentioning that I ran into Raph because I was making fun of how crazy it was to see him just like he was in and out.
Was that Vince being all like gravelly, like what happens, the static shit?
Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah, he said something the source don't like this is Storm. The source going.
You know what it
best.
Is? You know what it is? No, you know what it is, Julian. We figured it out. It's he's gone too far back over to the Marvel side, and the source
the source is going to make you pay. The mother box don't like that when that happens.
Poor Julian. Julian's been on our forums being like, "Yo, where's the y'all read any of these?"
A little taste, just a little bit.
I'm gonna have to go on there more and talk more DC because I've been reading a lot more of it lately.
I read tons of DC books.
Yeah,
there's been times where somebody's been missing on the show, and it's a straight bull thimble in this podcast. There's no independence, no nothing.
It is cyclical, though.
The last half of the last episode you guys put out today, and it was like you guys were arguing about how much DC or Marvel you guys have been talking about. I was like, who cares?
Man, I need to be on for one reason, just so I can make myself my tamarind and gold rum drink. And just sip that while on the episode, because I'm telling you, I'm waiting for that shit. I found out tamarind soda and Bacardi Gold go perfect together. Absolutely perfect together. It's like
we might call that the Levenstein.
Ooh,
we'll have to make
some. The Levenstein. That's kind of classy. That's kind of dope. That's like
right.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to be at Super Show sitting in Days In. Gangster style, drinking some Levensteins.
I'm bringing the man. I'll bring it. I got a Mexican bodega right around the corner from me. I'll bring like five bottles of tamarind soda.
All right.
Oh, nice. Pick me up some Jamaican beef patties on the way down.
By the way, Julian, I'm upset with you, man. You didn't enter the 50 Girls 50 contest. You should have.
You know, I'm kind of busy. It's like I gotta get the strip done each week.
Dude, I'm just saying, man. I'd love to see you. You know? I would love to have seen you draw some En Fuego sci-fi chick.
I got some sci-fi that can't already announce it.
All right.
Yeah. Like, say if I got in, be like, oh, now you got to pencil this book. Like, oh, no.
Speaking of sci-fi, if I hear one more person tell me, hey, when are you going to change your name to I Am Siffy, I'm just going to explode.
Oh, I had never thought of that. Oh, okay.
I didn't even think of that neither, because sci-fi existed before the channel.
That's I know, kinda, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of dense. I would be like, really? Really? They would get that, like, where's the freaking blonde chicken to do from SNL just to say that to your face? Really? Really?
Really? Really?
Yeah, they would just go away. That would be dope. If I had a TV show, something like that would happen. It would just pop in and say that and bounce. You just said something stupid. Like,
Man, this is going to be an episode where like the back is like as long as the episode itself. This is fantastic. I mean, like this is why I do this show right here. All right,
it's like our women.
Ouch! Shit! All right, let's get the pimpage out of the way. Let's get that going. So Mr. Wood, obviously, they can find you at bullpenbulletinspodcast.com. Correct.
Yes, or you could find us at 11oclockcomics.com. Either will take you to the same spot.
Right on.
Don't forget
iTunes. Yeah, on iTunes, it's 11 o'clock comics, not Bullpen Bulletins. But that is the name of the show. Although the original feed was, as you alluded, Bullpen Bulletins. And thanks for the shout out there, Julian. You can. I am quite the tweeter, as it were. I do love that shit. I'm a Wood83. So. Come join the party.
And you can learn a lot from him.
Teach about money.
Yeah, be prepared during the day to get bombarded with stock-related information. If that's going to bother you, as it does bother some, you'll probably want to unfollow me pretty quickly. Yeah. So.
And for all that Marvel inside information, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
and Mr. Lytle, pip yourself.
Okay. Well, you can find me at www.julianlytle.com. You can read my webcomic at ants.julianlytle.com, which is updated every Thursday.
Yeah, it is.
And I need more hits. Oh, it'll also be randomly updated if something crazy happens. Like, if there's, like, a hot award show.
Like the video. Happens.
Like the VMAs. And if something else happened. Oh, I think the BET Hip Hop Awards happening soon. You never know.
I'm going to let you finish, but Sean Pryor's webpage is the best webpage of all time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. You mentioned the VMAs, and right away I'm like, God damn it.
You should have cut me off. You got to cut me. I almost did that at the Ignatz. I was this close to getting up in the middle of the Ignatz Awards, taking someone's brick, saying that, and leaving. No bullshit. I almost did it.
That would have been great.
Yes, and then there would have been a sign on the Ignatz the next year. Julian Lido has been barred from the Ignatz.
No black.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when Fraction got up and said that that the best comic of the year should have gone to NASCAR Heroes 5.
Oh, dear. That was a good comic.
See, that's snarky. See, that's the kind of snarkiness we hear on 11 o'clock, if you're curious.
Yo, but now that lets me know, I need to find a way to get on these lists. Because I think if this stuff like that can get an award, I think Anz deserves to get a Harvey Award so I can go crazy. Like the Source Awards from like 1995 and bring like
I'm with you, man, because if you start making that paper off of Anz, then you know, you and I can roll, you know, dude, we'll go, we'll take care of our business.
You gangster.
And Brent, anything other than comic timing anytime soon? Brent?
No, I was pondering some today at the gym.
Oh, yeah?
I was, but it'll be announced when it's ready.
No more BK's bullets?
Well, I was thinking about some, so. Because I'm tired of waiting, Raging Bolts, waiting on them to do some of these things, so I'm thinking maybe I'll just do it myself.
Let me guess, Ambush Bug number 5, right?
No, 6.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes you got to go solo, right? Sometimes you got to be like Bobby Brown, break off.
Well, Ian, when are we going to hear the next episode of the Geek Speak Report?
Yeah, anyway.
Did you ever even pick a co-host, or is that contest still going on?
Dude, that's going to be the contest that I'm just going to keep running until I stop podcasting. You know,
let's see, who competed? Radio Wayne.
Yeah.
It was Yanni, right?
Yeah.
Brent, right? Brent competed for it, didn't he?
Brent didn't count.
That was a de facto.
Troy Mata, right?
Yeah, Troy Mata, Tamalo. And we never got Marvelous Patrick on because every time I tried to get him on, something went down. Either he wasn't available or I wasn't available or the moon landed. I don't know. But we never got that one going. It was supposed to happen like 6 months ago and it never went down. So
Ian just took it as a sign it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. So it's probably for the best.
And really, I can only handle one podcast. I'm learning that, man. You know, because quite frankly, this one comes out, you know, 2 or 3 times a month if I'm lucky. So let's just be happy that that's going on, you know?
There you go.
Yeah. And you know what? If it ever comes back, I'll just have some random guys on and just, you know, relax and talk geek stuff. So
that's cool.
That's all we need. And hey, don't forget, man. You know, if for some reason King Dap can't make it and you need another Jew at 11 o'clock, you know where to turn.
There you go, man. I hear you. I mean, you know, I think it'll happen eventually.
Sweet. Sweet, get your Jew.
Thing is, David's like, you can set a clock to him, though. David never misses episodes.
Oh, come on. I'll be like, holla.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting on a show one day, so I'll talk about some DC comics on that bitch.
Remind people that DC exists.
Like, yo, that was fire. Did y'all read Batman and Robin? A 10-year-old punched someone in the throat.
Hilarious. Thing is, Julian, we can't. We would love to have you on, but we can't. You're always busy doing CGS, so we can't.
I haven't been on there in like 6 months.
What? You've been on there like twice in the last couple months.
Really? Nah, man. I haven't even done a message in forever.
It was a rerun.
It's been in the last few months you've been on.
I have? I did a
He was so drunk he doesn't even remember.
I did a phone call. I think that was it. And they played it. It was mad long. Yeah. I didn't know it was that long. I'm never going to do that
long. It was mad
again.
Long. It was like you were guest host. Yeah.
Completely random and off topic. Did I hear right that Speedy from Green Arrow is going to be on Smallville?
Yeah, that don't make no damn sense.
Female Speedy with HIV.
A word, that's hot because he's on the streets right now. He's on the streets.
Oh,
yo, don't hate on that show. That show's all right. It's good on
Friday.
No,
I just don't watch it. I was just saying to my wife, it's one of those shows I wouldn't mind getting on DVD and like just watching because we got like 10 years worth of it to watch now.
They had a zombie episode on Friday.
Oh yeah,
it was Superman versus 28 Days Later. No,
it
boy.
Was. Sweet.
He walked out. It was an empty city. Freaking crazy people running all around, but he was Superman, so they can't bite him. It's tough. It's hard body.
Oh dear. All right. Well, I'm on season 2 with that. I think I'm on like the last disc of season 2, which I've been putting off because I've been watching.
So you've seen the only good episode on that disc, which is where Lana goes all naughty girl.
Yo, yeah. Woo! Well, no, the Christopher Reeve episode is on that disc also.
Right, I know. I'm just, that's the only one I remember from season 2.
All right, okay.
for various reasons.
Yeah, you remember that guy who used to be Superman and wound up crippled and, you know, happened to be on an episode? You know, that guy, the iconic guy, you know. Yeah, anyway. All right, well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geekspeak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Make sure to check out the podcast promo section on that. Brand spanking new. You'll be able to find a bunch of the different podcasts in the CPN with their promos on there. And make sure to check out the rest of the comics in this comic podcast theme event week, Horror Week, going on October 25th to the 31st. I'm sure Peter Rios will have some sort of site set up with those eventually. But either way, thanks to Peter for setting it up. And, well, thanks for Mr. Wood for coming back on, man, and don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. It was great, boys. Happy to pop on sometime again and shoot the shit with you. It's always fun.
Yeah, same here. And Wido, man, come on. One time no speak, man. Bring it up.
Hey, I'll try to get on. I'll try to stay more abreast. People ask when I'm going to get back on a podcast, and I say, I don't know, because I'm not going to start one. So,
That's what I said, Julian. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you got pulled into another show, though, so you ain't starting with, like...
No, I'm saying I swore I wasn't going to ever record a comics podcast, I mean, other than being a guest, and 78 episodes later, look at me.
Oh. Man, you are catching up to me. Shit.
Yo. Yeah, we're like every week,
on
man.
Time. They, even yeah, when they week. Got people, they got bench, they got bench people.
We'll yeah, they managed to put an episode every weekend. I don't know how they do it.
We block it out, man. We're all old married dudes. It's our chance to shoot or sit
there. You guys just shoot the shit every episode. You don't, you know. Ian has to have a topic.
That's what
his problem is. He has to have a topic. And if there's no topic,
yeah. Mind. But see, I mean, between us, we got like over 100 years of comics reading experience, so.
Y'all read mad books.
Anything we want to talk about, we pretty much got covered in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love those fanzine flashbacks. That's
yeah. So when the one thing the guests we can never really predict. Like we're we got Fred Van Lente coming up. Actually, he may even be already be on by the time you guys air this. I don't know when because you're doing it for the, but FEL because Vince B's obsessed with Fred Van Lente of late, so he was supposed to come on a few weeks ago, but we had a little gaff. But
I heard about that.
We said Tom Fowler on. It's always fun having
that one where he talked about the book for like an hour. I was mowing the lawn and I usually listen to 11 o'clock comics when I mow the lawn, because I've never listened to it except on Saturdays. And I'm mowing the lawn and I'm in a groove because I'm listening to you guys, and then just keeps talking about that old book, and I was like, I can't do it no more.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about like weeks ago. This was like
I think it was the book the old 70s book.
Yeah, you guys coined the term fanzine flashback.
Oh, I never said that.
Uh-huh. Oh, damn, okay. That's really old, damn.
I just remember that and going, catching up to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I like when y'all talk numbers.
You hate.
Okay, nah. Forget what Caters be saying. That's like my business news and shit.
Well, the one thing if we do have a shirt made up, it's going to be the Shake Your Fist shirt because no matter what we talk about, there's somebody that tells us they hated it.
Watch, man. Eventually, you're going to have your own podcast, whether you like it or not, Jason. It'll be like the Mad Money of the comics world.
Nah.
I mean, maybe a little something.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. All right. And Brent, then thanks for being on as always, I guess. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Thank you too in spirit of episode 100. So like you mean it, Lee. So what's the word for it? You sound like you mean much.
I'm
graciously.
Sincerely. Yeah.
So sincerely. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're what. Come on, man. Well, so are we going to announce what we're doing for 100 here?
I think we should thank the listeners first in the spirit of CGS yes. 700 as we go on to 100. Thank you guys for supporting us and not kicking me off once I came and took over from the office guy.
Matt Summer. Matt Summer, that's what she said. Listen to it. Good podcast. That's what she said. Webson.com.
Wait a minute. I thought the guy that was your old co-host was Toby.
Anyway, no. No, he was the first guy on with David Price, and then he left, and then David left, and then Matt came on, and then he left, and then Brent came on, and then he left, and then
as of 100, I'm leaving.
Yeah, right.
I'm quitting.
Right.
I did not listen to Comic Timing until after they were all gone, and it was just you, Ian.
That's fine. I didn't listen to it then either. In all seriousness, I mean, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The show became what it was when Brent became the co-host. So that's the way I feel. Yeah, I feel like we hit our groove when that happened, man.
Little e-hug right now.
Aww. He does love me.
but yeah, I'm thinking, and you know, this isn't official yet, but I'm gonna see if we can try and get something together like we did with 50. Get like maybe five different groups of people on. You know, the first time Mr. Wood was on the show, by the way, if he remembers.
Yes,
I do remember that. Yes.
And get together maybe four or five different groups of people to just talk. What are we talking, Brent?
We're going to talk about who's got the more iconic group of characters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fire.
It's going to be all out brawl.
Fire and
ice.
It's going
to be lava. Molten.
I might have to get on that. You know what I'm saying? I got to rep.
Hey, man, let it roll. Just I'll put up the post, and I'll PM a bunch of people, and you know, whoever wants to come on can come on.
You should have Julian, Vince, David, and I as one of your quartets.
Dude, if you can convince Vince to come on the show, because I know he doesn't like making appearances elsewhere, but because like the few times
if you can get the dates lined up like far enough out, I can get him to come on.
All right, good. Then we'll set it up, because I again Brent.
He just doesn't want to come on and like he doesn't want to come on and talk for hours at a time. Like he'll come on.
No, this will be like a 30-minute chunk. Yeah. Okay. Like a 30-minute chunk.
Right, right.
And I'll keep the time and I'll kick you guys off when your 30-minute chunk.
I'll tell
him
it's for charity.
Exactly.
I'll tell him we're going to donate all the proceeds to a charity of his choice.
Yeah. The Ian Levinstein Needs Money Fund.
There you go.
All right. So yeah, who has the most iconic characters? Stay tuned for that. More information, and you know, if you want to leave audio comments or anything like that, just either send me a voicemail on Skype at Scary Monkey Show. That's ScaryMonkeyShow, or just send us an email over commenttiming@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to air it. And since this has been the longest outro ever in the history of the show, and as always, there's always time for comics, apparently.
Nice.
But, you know, I let him know, and he was like, well, you know, if you want to get a job in Midtown, you just let me know. I'm like, yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, I when I first came in, he didn't see me, and I heard him. He was talking to another one of the workers, and it was like, they were both, it was like, you know, they would say all in L.A., all the waiters want to be actresses. Uh-huh. You know, it's the same thing, like the guy was like, oh, yeah, you know, I guess he just started the other guy, and Raph's like, yeah, well, I'm here because I'm an aspiring writer. I want to, you know, I want to dominate and know the competition. Oh, there's Julian.
Yeah, bring him back in. Let's see. Yeah.
You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, I got a fix.
Yay!
My dude.
What's up, Wood? My man.
How you doing, player?
I'm doing all right. How the seeds?
Oh, they're good, man. Well, they're all right. The oldest one's giving me a little ish the last 2 days. I had to have. I'm missing. I wish it was back in the day when I could take the paddle to his ass, but I'm trying to rationalize with the kid. And it's
yeah, it's the new century, you know. I can't.
Exactly.
Can't bust off the strap.
Gotta watch what you're saying. Watch what you do.
Exactly. Kids are called Dyfus on you these days if you spank them once.
Oh dear.
But your kids.
Oh, they
like
all talk. You know they all. Yeah, oh, I know, man. That's what it is. He's got no control over his own life. Yeah. So we decided we got to give him more choices.
All right, Julian, you got headphones on?
I got my Bluetooth.
All right.
That sucks.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Ian.
What up?
Hey, Brent. Never met you before, but how's it going?
What's up, Brent?
You can talk.
What?
Who could talk? I'm hearing somebody rustling around.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about too. Somebody else in the room with them? Shit.
Who this?
I don't know.
Hello,
Brent. Ah, fuck.
Brent, Julian.
Everybody's still here. He's just doing the usual shuffle around that he usually does right before we start getting going here.
That wasn't me.
It was Julian.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Huh. Well, listen, Julian, if the Bluetooth ain't working for you, you got any other options?
Not really. How much can you guys hear?
Oh, I can hear fine. It sounded like you were rustling around or fixing yourself some food or something.
I like got up from the chair. That's about it.
Oh, all see. Right.
All right. Well, you know,
plant your ass on the chair, man.
Well, if at any point we lose you, we'll try and get you back right away. All right.
All right.
All right. Cool. All right. Brent, how's Mandy?
She's good.
Good?
Good.
You guys in different cities these days, Brent?
No, we're both in Orlando.
Nice.
I'm telling my dad to shut up because he's commenting on stuff.
Oh, really?
What's that?
his father is commenting on stuff in the background.
He's commenting.
Oh, you're at home? You live at home?
Yeah, I'm living at home, saving money.
That's good for you, man.
Yeah, as you were saying, I'm working now.
Nice.
All right, so horror comics and superheroes. We'll see how far this topic can go, and we'll get rolling with that basically, because we did the straight up horror episode with Lobo and Damien about a year and a half ago. So I figured
I thought it was longer than that.
Something like that. Whatever. It was a decent amount of time ago.
That's perfect timing. By the time you guys edit this, it'll be Halloween.
Oh,
I was gonna say I can put this up real quick tomorrow or tonight if it gets sent to me.
You know what? Let's wait on that.
Because Ian's the one that takes forever.
Yes, I am the one that takes forever. I'm a perfectionist. Okay, so.
I'm just trying to offer here so that way Wood will be happy because we'll be relevant and on time, I guess.
Well, you got it. By the time you talk about shit, it's like 2 months later, shit changes.
Yeah, people forget what they heard at the same time as everyone else, so it's okay. I mean, whatever.
You guys are releasing episodes where you're speculating on what's going to happen with Secret Invasion and shit. it's like, yo.
You know, I heard Captain America's a Skrull.
You know what? They extended Reborn to 6 issues, and we picked number 5 as the final issue.
Yeah, I know. I'm really bitching about that right now.
Oh well.
Hey, Julian, how's Ants going, man? Is the viewership growing?
I think so. I think I'm growing by little amounts. I'm still trying to figure out what's the difference between a hit, a visit, and a page view.
Well, for a webcomic, I don't know that there's really much difference, right? I mean, other than just where it's coming from.
I don't know. Hits, I get like hundreds a day, daily average, but visits, I get maybe like 40 a week, but page views I get like 150 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
it's all between all that.
I think hits is following a link. If I'm remembering the terminology right. So, that's the difference. I think between guys who are just, clicking the link straight up, and guys that are following a link from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be talking out my ass there because all this, all these different terminologies for things that sound exactly the same are a little weird to me.
Yeah,
right.
I'm surprised. It's doing okay. I put Google Ads and stuff today, and I love it because they put up ads for like pest killers and shit. That shit is awesome.
Right.
Nice. You know, I'm trying to spread the love.
Yo, I like that. I love tweets. I love seeing that.
Loving the love, man. Loving the love. Well, look, Brent, if I give this to you and you edit it, don't put it up until the week of October 25th to the 31st, all right? Because that's the...
Why so late?
Because that's
the
week.
That's the theme, right?
Yeah, that's the actual Comics Podcast theme.
Yeah, the Comics Podcast week.
Oh.
For Halloween, it's that theme, so...
Right. Yeah, because I think I'm going to be going to Big Apple this weekend, and I might actually record some stuff from there. So we'll title this... the episode after the one that we just did, so this will be episode 98. That way I can have that wiggle room in there, because I've still got a couple of things recorded that I always just put out as 97.
What you guys gonna do for 100?
What was it you suggested, Brent?
What iconic characters and arguing which company has the better ones.
Oh wow,
yeah.
I shouldn't be in that one.
I was gonna say we. If Julian and Vince will, they'll fight the DC fight for sure.
All right. Well, Vince hasn't been on the show since David was the co-host, so I'd love to have his ass back.
Oh, he was on then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back in the day. I think it was episode 10. It was Sean Whalen, Vince.
Wow.
David Price and myself talking, I think, why Vince didn't like the ending of Infinite Crisis.
So you're the one responsible for all this mess.
Yeah, basically.
I think last month I became the first person to ever be on CGS and iFanboy.
Nice.
Zero.
Oh wow.
So
first guy ever.
What's is there beef between iFanboy and CGS, or is it Fanboy Radio?
Yeah, it's like passive beef though. You know, like they don't all know each other all that well. But
well, I know Fanboy Radio and CGS were something, but is there stuff?
Yeah, that's different. I mean, I think there's actual beef there, but yeah. Nah, I just think it's competitive. I just think the iFanboy guys and the CGS guys are competitive over the number one slot. So for some reason, they have. I mean, I'm really good friends with Ron, and obviously I'm buddies with the CGS guys, so I got nothing but love, but. Yeah, you know, and then you throw Chris into the mix with AC, so it's like they all, you know, yeah, it's like anything else, you know, competitive egos, you know, everybody wants to be the big swinging dick, the number one show.
It's,
so
it's all a mutual admiration society in the end, you know. I mean,
well, yeah, I think that's the case with AC. Like, I think CGS and AC are okay with each other, and yeah. iFanboy and AC. I mean, Ron and Chris are also really good buddies, but it's I think. For whatever reason, iFanboy and CGS have some beef. I don't know why.
But again, it's mostly Fanboy Radio and CGS, though. Because I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, Fanboy Radio is irrelevant at this point.
Exactly.
I don't really. I mean, I guess as a radio show, they're still relevant, but I don't really consider them a force in the podcasting world for whatever that means.
they put out a podcast like once every 2 months or something like that. Anyway. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, whatever. Who cares about that? Let's talk comics, people. Let's talk.
Do it.
Comics.
Let's do it.
All right.
Do it.
Okay. All right. 98. Horror comics. All right, let's count it down. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to episode 98 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and whatever comes to mind. Wait. Here we go. One more time. It's the first time I've screwed that up in about 10 times. Let's try it again.
Woo!
And we're done before midnight.
Nice.
Booyah.
It's a first. Right. That's only because we started early.
Yeah. Well, well, Gesundheit.
So. Damn. You saw that for a minute. You sipping on something. You sipping on that 40 ounce. That's what that was.
You sipping on gin and juice again?
It's a Mickey's Irish.
Ooh.
Gin and juice don't make you belch like that.
No.
I had my Merlot last night because it was my grandfather's birthday, so we went out to this really good Italian restaurant. It was on them, so I was like, all right, fine, I'll get whatever the nicest wine is and just take back a little bit of that to celebrate the fact. And basically, you know, I save up money and just not spend nearly as much on anything as I'm doing. Although what sucks is that, you know, like the day that they announced it, I got in the mail Stargate Atlantis, the complete series. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, that's a purchase that I've been wanting to make that I really wish that I would have waited a little bit longer on. But,
yeah.
Hey, come on, $153 for the entire series. I mean, that's not that bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Speaking of DVDs,
that sounds
in the mail,
like a lot
I got
to
that,
me.
Well, I got that movie in the mail.
Oh, yeah, so did I. I just got it today.
Yeah, I got it today. So
we'll do a special episode on it once
okay.
We're all set. Now, some guy sent us both his independent movie that apparently was, like, voted like one of the best at New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con and a bunch of other places.
There you go.
Some superhero love story that's taking place at like a comic shop or something.
Something like that.
All right,
gentlemen. Thanks for sticking with us here and hanging in there and all that. And you know, obviously, you're welcome whenever you want to shop over. All right.
Sounds good, y'all.
Stop back fast here.
Yeah, man. Come on. It's all good. It's all good.
All right,
I'll give you guys a heads up when the 100's ready to be announced.
Nice.
Yeah, do that. So I can
block make it,
time.
Make it clap, y'all.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody, have a good night. Talk to you later.
Later.
Peace.
Right. Later.